Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We've talked a little football on the show. We're going to talk some of the business side of it now, especially in the aftermath of the owners' meetings in the last couple weeks here. Thought it'd be a great idea to get on our next guest, who you can find his columns on the Monday Morning Quarterback, The Athletic. His podcast, Business of Sports, is awesome if you are into the business side of sports. He's been an agent. He's worked for he's worked on both sides, the agent side and the team side in the NFL. Andrew Brandt, and you can find him on Twitter at Andrew Brandt. Andrew Brandt joining me on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing tonight, Andrew?
Doing well, Sean. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. So let's talk about the aftermath of the owners' meeting. I want to initially get your thoughts just on the new Anthem policy, both from a policy standpoint as well as sort of an execution standpoint, I guess I'll call it, on the part of the owners. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. I really go back to almost 2 years ago now, where the first time Colin Kaepernick sat or knelt or whatever he did at that time, the NFL had to respond. And once they did, that kind of set the policy going forward. And the policy was there. And I remember the tweet, however many words, 10 words, basically said, players are encouraged but not required to stand for the anthem. And there it is. I mean, I'm a lawyer. That's the precedent. That's what you go on. The NBA, as everyone knows, has a different policy which requires standing. And ever since then, it seems like everything's kind of gemmated from that tweet, because there is no league policy against it. Players want to do it. Owners want to move on, and they've wanted to move on because they want to get back to football, because they're hearing from stakeholders like sponsors, networks, fans, and of course the tweeter in chief, that they should not be doing this. And this is what they came out with. I had a feeling, Sean, that we would not have this resolution until the owners' meeting. That was without the coaches and everyone else. That one, of course, was in March. This one in May, under the guise of just owners in the room, they did this. Now, listen, I think we're all criticizing it. The real issue is going to be the execution. Are we going to see discipline? Are we going to see players that want to express themselves that can't? How is that going to affect internal issues with the team? And maybe the most interesting thing I'm going to want to see out of this is, you know, these teams, I've managed a team for 10 years. I mean, there's internal divisions about race, about politics, of backgrounds that are so different from each other. Imagine you want some players wanting to go out, stay in and protest because they can't go out. Some players wanting to go out. I mean, this creates all kinds of negative possibilities.
Yeah, the team dynamic is an interesting part of this, Andrew, for sure. Let me ask you this. Is there a scenario you think where the owners may have just been better served not even having a policy on it beyond that 10-word tweet, like you said, and just kind of letting it die down? Because I feel like, other than a few brush fires here and there when you know, an owner here, an owner there did an interview or whatever, if they just kind of kept quiet on it, it felt like the protesting was kind of dying down at one point. Is there a scenario where maybe the best option would have been to put no policy out there?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've heard that a lot, because it just went down to a smattering by the end of the year.
Right.
And just let it kind of quietly resolve. But we know there were players that weren't going to let it completely die. And that's why it's a great question, because I just think this is bigger than the owners. I don't know how much the president's involved, but networks and sponsors and fans and feedback that we can't have this. I think Jerry Jones even intimated it in some of his interviews that we know what our, I don't know if he said fans, but we know what our stakeholders want.
Mm-hmm.
And they want football. You know, they don't want politics. So they really felt they had to address it. And unfortunately, it's kind of a clumsy way they did it.
Andrew Brandt joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew, do you buy that the downturn in ratings, the downturn in business is as linked to these protests as the owners seem to think it's linked?
I don't. You know, I think the biggest reason for, of course, downturn in ratings for all sports and entertainment is the obvious one, which is the plethora of options that fans now have and the reduced watching of TV. And I go back to the president who's siphoning viewers away to the news networks. So, yeah, I don't think so. And again, the NFL is so far and away the most impressive television product in sports. You know, we're going to see LeBron James in a Game 7 tonight. I don't even think that rating will be like an average Sunday afternoon NFL rating.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's even with the downturn in business, you know, you look at the list of most watched TV shows at the end of the year, and a lot of them are still NFL games. Andrew Brandt joining me on CBS Sports Radio. And I guess that's a logical lead into the gambling talk, because that was another big topic at the owners' meeting, and obviously the Supreme Court deciding to open the floodgates if states choose to do so,
right,
for gambling. I guess let's start there, Andrew, with the owners who have said, and the players actually, who have said, hey, we want our piece of the action. Ultimately, what do you think the piece of the action looks like, if any, that the NFL and the other sports leagues wind up getting out of this?
Well, it's interesting you ask if any, because if nothing happens with any kind of regulation with the leagues or integrity fees or anything like that, the NFL owners, the NBA owners, NHL owners, baseball owners just made a ton of money because of this court decision. Because the more gambling becomes credibly accepted around the country, the more fans they're going to have. Why? Because of the obvious. Because people don't watch games unless they have rooting interests, but for gambling. Yep. It's not a crime to say that. It's not a taboo to say that anymore. It's what it is. We watch games that we have no home team rooting interest for basically one reason, and that's betting. And now it's out there. And I just think the engagement factor, we've seen it in fantasy the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
People engage in the sport based on that. And that is all good news for these leagues, revenue-wise. In terms of regulation, I know these leagues aren't happy with the decision. They were fighting it in New Jersey for 6 years, and they won every round until they lost. And they want it done federally. They're already, Orrin Hatch is introducing a bill that they're going to be behind. But come on, it's too late.
Yeah,
they let it happen in the courts because they always thought they would win. And no Congress in this day and age is going to fast-track betting legislation with everything else going on in the world.
Yeah, okay. Well, that answers the last part of what I was going to ask, because, yeah, the Roger Goodell coming out and kind of grandstanding about, well, you know, now we live in this world with gambling, so I guess we'll accept it, but we need there to be federal regulation over all of this. It does seem to be kind of folly. Do you think the leagues deserve a small cut of the action, Andrew?
You know, I guess I'm kind of being lobbied about that, not necessarily by the league, but for people in the industry are talking to me, because I've said no. I've said Nevada obviously never had one.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this integrity issue, and to make sure the product is highly regulated. But, you know, the question is, can the states do that enough where the leagues don't have to spend money and request state integrity fees? I just think they're going to have a hard time getting them. Now, maybe some states say, okay, we'll pay you 0.15 or 0.2%. But, you know, it's a hard ask, but you never know with these NFL negotiators whether they can get something like that. I just think this is an area where you mentioned Roger Goodell grandstanding. Listen, I've written about gambling for years. I think there has been too much hypocrisy on this issue. Mm-hmm. And the NFL and the NHL really lost a lot of moral high ground about integrity when they put teams in Vegas. So now it's like, okay, really? I mean, you're praising the legal gambling market by putting a franchise there, yet you're fighting at other places? I don't get it.
Yep. Andrew Brandt joining me on CBS Sports Radio. And Andrew, I mentioned your podcast, Business of Sports Podcast, that you had a good one this past week with Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, in a kind of a funny anecdote about him bumping into Aaron Rodgers at the Super Bowl. Can you share the anecdote with our audience, and then just the about Rodgers? It sounded like kind of tongue-in-cheek saying, hey, can you get this Matt Ryan deal done? I want you to just talk about the anecdote, but then also what you think an Aaron Rodgers contract is going to look like and how soon you think that gets done, obviously with you having been part of that Packers brass at one time in your career.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning the podcast. What I try to do is sort of bring on industry leaders in sports, agents, team executive, marketing executives, whatever it may be, and really with my background, able to go deep and deconstruct everything about him. And Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager of the Falcons, is a friend and a colleague. And for people who don't know about him or me, we are fitness nerds, and we eat very healthy, and we try to exercise a lot, and we compete in racing, him in biking, me in triathlon. So we talked a lot about that, which I think is cool. And then he did mention about Matt's deal, Matt Ryan. You know, sort of the two deals that are hanging out there this soft season, one is done, and that's Matt Ryan's, who's been now the highest paid player in football. Number two, of course, will be Aaron. I, having been in Green Bay all those years, I know you got to get a guy like Aaron done if you can, way before the finish line of his deal. In my day with Brett Favre, we never let him even see two seasons before the end of the contract, and that's where they are now with Aaron. I do think they're going to get it done, and I think they're going to get it done at around the start of training camp. In terms of what that is, I mean, we know the number with Ryan is 30 a year. You know, it's a little tricky because he already had 19 coming, so is it really 30 a year? If you take that off, it's more like 27.5 a year. But we'll see with Aaron. I mean, I think the issue to me, and I wrote about this on the Monday Morning Quarterback, is are we ever going to see a quarterback, any player, get a guarantee that runs into the fourth year? Kirk Cousins got 3. Matt Ryan got 3. Will Aaron Rodgers get a fourth year? Why don't teams do it? Because of precedent. Are they really worried about cutting Aaron Rodgers in 4 years or Matt Ryan? No, but they don't want to do it. So more than the numbers, which everyone's going to jump on and whatever Aaron gets, I just want to see, is he going to have security beyond year 3? Because that has been the marker where teams hold the line. Like, we'll give him 3 years, but after that, it's up to us.
I think a lot of people were thinking Kirk Cousins, not because he's better than all these guys, but because he became the most available of all these guys.
Right.
A lot of people were hoping that Kirk Cousins was going to kind of shatter that ceiling, right?
Well, he did get the full guarantee, and that was the big takeaway from the deal. But then you look closer in like 3 years. Well, a lot of players have gotten 3 years, but he gets the cutoff, so he'll get to do it again in 3 years. But again, I want to see a 4 or 5 year guaranteed deal like in football, baseball, or basketball. We've yet to see that.
Yep. Andrew Brandt, Business of Sports Podcast, very, very good, that you can get at all the usual places you can find podcasts, and of course, columnist, Monday Morning Quarterback, The Athletic, and kind enough to join me here on CBS Sports Radio. Give him a follow at Andrew Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T, on Twitter. Hey, Andrew, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening, man. Thanks. That was great.
Always a pleasure, Sean. Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.